Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. In an enchanted kingdom, in an enchanted forest, there is an enchanted clock tower, the clockworks of which, the cogs and the gears and the springs and the pendulums, are terribly, terribly important. For if they are correctly sprung and wound, and if they are tick-tick-ticking and also tick-tick-talking just as they should, then all the magic and enchantment in all the enchanted kingdom, all the blessings and the curses and the spells and protections work just as they should. The cat queen of the enchanted kingdom, Queen Tabitha, and all her people in the enchanted cat castle turn into cats just as night falls, and then when the sun rises, they turn back into people. Tick-tock, that is the way it is and the way it should be. All the maps to all the dragon's gold buried in the enchanted forest and hidden in the caves in the enchanted mountains remain hidden. The maps remain blank and inscrutable, and that's the way it should be. Tick-tock, for it is common knowledge that dragon's gold corrupts an enchanted kingdom like nothing else until all who dwell there are under its terrible power, wealthy and joyless. Tick, tick, talk. And every hour of every day, all the fairy doors remain locked to those who are not pure of heart. Tick, tock. And every minute of every night, all the wolves remain wild. All the owls remain wise, and every witch's broom can fly through the moonlit sky, and every second, tick, 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 pirates sail through the waters that churn around and around the enchanted kingdom, but the pirates just cannot see the magical kingdom because, tick-tock, tick-tock, all the blessings and curses and spells and protections work just as they should, like clockwork. And all this is thanks, in part, to the very important Mouse Queen Primrose, Mouse Queen of the Enchanted Clock Tower. She is a very important mouse with a very important role to keep all that clockwork wound and sprung and tick-tick-talking every hour, minute, and second of every day and every night. Primrose, queen of razzle-dazzle and of the enchanted clock tower in the enchanted forest, has devoted her life work to this very important task. She wears a golden crown atop her head. She eats cheese rinds on bread crusts in a cozy room in the clock tower, in which she can hear all the gears and cogs whirring and turning. She knows every click of every gear and every swing of each pendulum, for this is her job. This is her calling, and her work, it is indivisible from herself. That's what she does. It is a very important job, and she is a very important mouse. Primrose also has 24 children, to whom she is an excellent mother. She not only feeds and educates her children in the ways of enchanted mice, but she loves them fiercely. She named her 24 children Flax, Camembert, Wensleydale, Stilton, Rye, Melba, Cheddar, Saltine, Baguette, Sourdough, Knickerbrot, Pita, Stoneground, Graham, Munster, Jack, Havarti, Mozzarella, Emmenthal, Gruyere, Parmesan, Asiago, Provolone, and the littlest and the last mouse, Curd. Curd knows, of course, that his mother is an excellent mother and also a very important mouse. He knows that his mother's firstborn, Flax, will one day inherit her crown and her tools and her job. Flax will wear the clever magnetic crown attachment that Primrose made for herself, which has on it a little candle and reflector and magnifying glass and all the tiny tools she needs to do the very detailed work in the intricate clock tower, ever at the ready, her tiny screwdriver and her tiny pliers. Curd knows if anything should prevent Flax from doing this very important job after her mother, their brother Camembert will be second in line for the crown. And that if anything happens to Camembert, Wensleydale will take the mantle in his place. And then Stilton, Rye, Melba, cheddar, saltine, baguette, and so on, sourdough, knickerbrot, pita, stone ground, graham, munster, and so on, jack and Havarti, mozzarella, emmental, gruyere, parmesan, asiago, and provolone, they're at the ready as well. Curd has no reason to suspect he will ever be asked to do anything important. In fact, sometimes Curd feels terribly unimportant. Sometimes he feels not only small, but smaller than small. He feels like the smallest, the littlest, the most unimportant creature that ever scurried through the enchanted forest in the enchanted kingdom, and not just unimportant, but a very unimportant mouse named Curd. On this particular day in the Enchanted Kingdom, the Mouse Queen Primrose has summoned an audience with the Great Silver Alicorn, which is a winged unicorn, of course, so she can ask him to make a royal request of the Cat Queen Tabitha. The request is this. The clock tower needs a new tourmaline crystal, for an unusually cold winter has dissipated its auric vibrations, threatening the integrity of the clockworks. Tourmaline can be found deep in the Enchanted Mountain, but only dwarves can mine in the Enchanted Mountain. Can Queen Tabitha ask the dwarves to bring tourmaline to the Enchanted Cat Castle? The tourmaline must be set in a silver mount, and the Enchanted Cat Castle is where the best silversmiths in the kingdom reside. Can the silversmiths of the Enchanted Cat Castle create a mount for the piece of tourmaline in their forge? And can they deliver the tourmaline mounted in silver to the enchanted clock tower before the stroke of midnight? Queen Tabitha agrees at once and orders a horse and rider to travel to the enchanted mountain with utmost haste to request tourmaline of the dwarves. The dwarves agree to mine the tourmaline. They know of a lode deep in the enchanted mountain, but they do not wish to transport the mineral back to the enchanted cat castle. To the silversmiths there, as the light of day feels like torture to dwarves. They travel only by night, being used as they are to working in the dark depths of the mountain mines. Crows travel back and forth across the enchanted forest to communicate amongst the representatives of the dwarf king, the cat queen, and the mouse queen and the alicorn. Yes, the silversmiths will create a mount for the crystal, and lo, the great alicorn will transport the mineral to the enchanted smithy, delivering it from the dwarves to the silver workers, but then he must keep an important appointment with a swan king. Who can do the important job of transporting the tourmaline once set in silver to the clock tower? This is something King Hans, who is married to Queen Tabitha, can do. Upon a royal steed, he will travel quickly through the enchanted forest from the castle to the clock tower, with the important piece tucked safely inside his green velvet riding cape. The mice know they must prepare themselves for King Hans's imminent arrival with the tourmaline crystal set in silver. They won't have much time to lock the piece into place without disrupting the clockworks, which would certainly disrupt all the blessings, spells, curses, and protections in place in the Enchanted Kingdom. And while the piece will be small for humans and dwarves, it will be large and heavy for the mice. The mice work through a clear and logical plan. Jack, Havarti, Parmesan, and Mozzarella will meet King Hans at the clock tower gates and direct him to place the piece carefully upon a sedan, which the four mice will carry carefully into the clock tower. Graham and Munster will be waiting there to lift the crystal up from the sedan onto a pulley at the base of the stairs. Stilton, Rye, Melba, and Cheddar will pull on the ropes, lifting the important crystal up into the clockworks, where Saltine and Baguette will direct it to a platform upon which Sourdough and Knickerbrot wait. They will carry the crystal to Stoneground and Asiago, who will hold on to it while Emmental, Gruyere, and Munster remove the compromised crystal. Flax will then help her mother, Queen Primrose, with the very important job of locking the new crystal into place. There is an important job for everyone to do, everyone except for Curd. The mice go through this plan many times and dispatch many crows to communicate and confer with the king and queen and the silver alicorn. Curd watches the crows fly back and forth, He has no reason to suspect he will ever be asked by a crow or anyone else to do anything important on the day the tourmaline crystal is expected, or on any other day. In fact, the older, bigger, more important mice have made it clear that it would be best if little Curd would stay off the main path, out of the way of the thundering horse hooves of King Hans, and if he would be careful not to interfere with any of the very important work of the clock tower mice. Curd would hate to get in the way, so he plans a nice day away from the clock tower. He takes a less traveled path in the enchanted forest, with a little cheese rind and bread crust wrapped in a little checked fabric which he slings over one shoulder. Curd sets off towards the enchanted waterfalls, where he loves to swim and play in the shade of the ferns. The path takes Curd around the base of the enchanted mountain, where he sees some Shetland ponies pulling dwarf minecarts full of plain-looking rocks out of a cave entrance. Curd makes sure to stay out of the way of the mine ponies. The path takes Curd past a group of mountain trolls who are felling trees. Curd certainly stays out of the way of the mountain trolls chopping and dragging great trees. And then the path takes Curd to a weeping tree nymph. Curd thinks he should maybe stay out of her way and mind his own mouse business, but the nymph is so beautiful and elegant, and it is not as if he is doing anything important. So Curd asks her, "What is wrong?" Now, when a tree nymph's tree is felled, she loses her voice. So the tree nymph could not answer the little mouse. She could only gesture towards an oak tree stump and let her tears fall to the ground. "Oh, I see," said Curd. "This tree was your home, and now mountain trolls have chopped it down and dragged it away." The nymph brightened just a little, just to be heard, to be understood, even by such an unimportant creature as this tiny mouse. But then her tears began to roll again, and Curd said to her, "Can you live in a different tree?" She shook her head sadly, "No," and gestured to her gown, which was made of oak leaves, and her golden crown with an acorn motif on it, and Curd understood that she was an oak tree nymph, and she could only inhabit an oak tree. Well, one of the things that Curd did was collect tree nuts and tree cones and acorns, and so he did have an acorn stashed away in one of his little piles of things in the clock tower, and he could run back and retrieve it if it would make the tree nymph happy again. And one of the things that Curd knows is that water fairies can make trees grow almost instantly in the enchanted forest, so if he recruited a water fairy to help, the wood nymph could have another tree to live in before nightfall. And Curd did know of a water fairy who he had once helped when she was caught in a spider's trap. He used his sharp little teeth and nimble hands to free her, and she would probably help if Curd asked her nicely. So Curd set off back down the path to find his acorn and the water fairy, and before too long a beautiful oak tree had sprung up at the base of the enchanted mountain, and the tree nymph once more had somewhere to live. Curd would have continued on down the path, but he had grown quite peckish, so he sat down to eat his cheese and bread, and as he nibbled, the tree nymph began to sing. And there's nothing quite as beautiful in all the world, especially as night falls and the tree nymph's song turns into a lullaby, and it harmonizes with the other tree nymph songs of the forest. So little Curd just sat and listened for the rest of the evening before hurrying back down the path towards home. Curd went home in the dark. Mice love to travel in the dark, and he scurried up the clock tower stairs and tucked himself into his little bed made out of a matchbox filled with poplar tree fluff. He was out of the way, and he fell asleep to the sound of the clock striking 12 and the mice cheering for their success in replacing the clock tower crystal. "I am a very unimportant mouse, but I had a good day," he thought dozily, thinking of the tree nymph's face brightening as her new oak tree home grew before their very eyes. Curd, the very unimportant mouse, doesn't know this, and he will never know this, no one ever will, but when the dwarves were mining the tourmaline, they were actually filling their carts with dragon's gold. The gold was enchanted to look like ordinary rocks, but the dragons who slumber in the enchanted mountain stirred, and they huffed, and they sent puffs of smoke out of a chasm in the craggy peaks of the enchanted mountain, which no one noticed because trolls had lit a smoky bonfire of oak trees at the base of the mountain. Now dragons will protect their gold above all else, and so were stirring to wage war on the enchanted kingdom. The dragons had been asleep for hundreds of years, and that is because the wood nymphs sing lullabies that keep dragons sleepy and sedated, and therefore keep the kingdom safe. Well, the nymphs were weeping that day, though, instead of singing, because the trolls were logging the tallest trees. The mountain trolls were logging the tallest trees because the scent of Shetland ponies, sweltering in the hot sun outside the cave entrance, gave them the idea to catch and roast ponies over an enormous bonfire, to feast on the ponies, for trolls love to eat ponies. Well, the dwarves were not watching their ponies, even though they know trolls love to eat ponies, because they were so busy concentrating on their task of mining tourmaline. But once the dwarves found the tourmaline, they tended to their ponies, and they chased the trolls away from them. And the wood nymphs stopped weeping and began singing again, because Curd the mouse planted an acorn and helped it sprout into an oak tree, and made the oak tree nymph not only safe, but glad. And her lullaby soothed those angry dragons back to sleep. And so the dragons did not wage war on the enchanted kingdom after all, and the kingdom was saved because a very unimportant mouse named Curd did something kind. No matter how small we are, our actions do matter, even if we don't know how. What we do makes a difference. So be kind, even if you are a very unimportant little mouse.